Today's scripture is found on page 1692 in your prayer Bible, in your pew Bible, Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The second readings are found on page 1678 in your pew Bible. It's John 15, 26 and 27, and John 16, 4 through 15. "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." The word of God for the people of God.
So I was very excited to be asked to speak for this Sunday. for Pentecost. I was even more excited when Amanda suggested that we wear red because I thought I had this subtle dress that kind of went for, you know, Pentecost with flames and everything like that. Because what is the Holy Spirit capable of? The Holy Spirit is capable of so much within us. And this is a topic close and dear to my heart to speak on, and a topic I hope that I can edify for you to hear. My words guided by God himself and for the Holy Spirit that resides in me. That is what the Holy Spirit can do, is give us a message, a clear message, a defined message that he has given us. Even when in our own minds, we may be nervous, we may be tired, we may be many things that the physical body puts upon us, but the Holy Spirit can fill us up and give us an energy far beyond ourselves. We see this in Scripture. We see this in the Scriptures we just read. The disciples, when Jesus first speaks to them, do not have the advocate yet of that Holy Spirit. He speaks to them and tells them that they are grieving, that they will be grieving because he's leaving. They're grieving. That's a human emotion, to lose someone. We all feel that. We can all feel that in our own lives and people. But then what happens? They're in a room together and they're basically hiding out still. They were told to stay in Jerusalem by Jesus when he ascended. That's where they are. They are there. They are in this room. And all of a sudden, boom, big noise, big wind. All of a sudden, flames descend upon that they can see, and the Holy Spirit is with them. And what does that Holy Spirit do? So much in just a moment. First of all, it reaches people. It has them speak a language or a dialect, and others are able to hear them. They were in a room, and they were in a place. People outside that place heard the sound. They heard the gust of wind. They heard where it came from, and they went there. And all of a sudden, they're listening to these men from Galilee, and they can hear their own tone, their own dialects, their own languages. And they're like, wait a minute. Aren't those guys from Galilee? Why are they speaking my language? This is an opening of the heart for the Holy Spirit, because now they can reach people they never would have been able to reach before. This Holy Spirit in Scripture, we watch it give courage against the naysayers. One of my favorite parts of this verse is you have these guys who are kind of like a little skeptical, like, okay, maybe they memorized some words or something and they have the language, or maybe they're drunk, you know? And then Peter, my favorite, I think I've spoken on that before, Peter, who before the Holy Spirit filled him, ran away, denied that he knew Christ. But with the Holy Spirit, his conviction to say, hey, by the way, it's 9 a.m. Calm down. It's not drunkenness that you see. What you see is the Holy Spirit with us. What you see is that we are now able to share with you a message and share it so you understand it. Peter is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He speaks so they can understand. He refers to Old Testament, as Christ did so many times in his own messages. And this is something that resonates with the Jews and those who are there who have heard it before. They're hearing something of prophecy. They understand that. And because they understand it, they know what Peter is speaking to be true. So now that Holy Spirit can touch them. You see amazement. When Jesus spoke of that Holy Spirit, he did it in a way to give them preparation. When that Holy Spirit came, it became the advocate for them to speak. In my life, I have been an advocate every now and then. Working with youth, I have to be an advocate for youth, young adults. That's something that I'll do. I'll defend them when they're being unruly. I will be with them. I will also guide them when the unruliness gets to be too much. But there's been adults too. But one time in my life I want to share with you is when I was working at a summer camp. It was called Mount Misery. It's a lovely name. But it was a beautiful camp. And it was down in the Pinelands. It's just recently closed. But it is open for private things. But the Methodist Church ran it for a long time. Beautiful camp. I loved going there. And I loved being a part of it and a part of that camp and a part of being a camp counselor and a lifeguard at the time. There were 2 weeks out of the year where we had kids come from inner city Philly to the camp. They were scholarship, and they would come and they would join us. Most ethnically of African descent or something of that era. And let me tell you, I grew up in Point Pleasant, okay? So I did not know how to relate to some of these kids. Their lives were very different from my own. How they spoke was very different from my own. Even though we're both speaking English, there were times where I'm like, what did you say? I don't understand what you're saying. And they didn't understand the way I was giving directions. It was something that I was feeling very nervous about at this camp, just to give you a feeling. Most time camps would come, we'd hug these kids, we knew them. And until I knew these kids a few years later, the first thing we had to do was a weapon check. It was something very unnerving for me. I was young at the time, about 19, and I did not have a wherewithal to deal with this. I stopped what I was doing and I prayed for about 10 seconds. And it was just, dear Lord Jesus, give me strength. And I started talking to these kids. And at first we didn't understand each other. We took them on what we called a night walk. In the Pinelands, the paths are made with white sand. Even in the middle of the night, you can see pretty clearly, as long as there's a good sized moon out, without flashlights. But it's also a trust walk. We are completely in the dark, leading these children through paths in the Pinelands. If you're not communicating, if you can't understand each other, you're going to get hurt. There are roots, there are trees. Every now and then there's an animal. I watched these kids go from very tough exterior, very tough children, until small children petrified of being in the dark. We had counselors who were good counselors, and we said, nope, you don't have to be afraid. You can be with us. All of a sudden, something changed. The Holy Spirit, I feel, was present in that moment. We were advocates for them. We guided them. Our words were to each repeat as one person went from the front to the back. If there was a tree root, if there was something in the path, if it dipped down, you'd say dip. Each person saying the same thing. That translated to trust. When we finished that walk, we watched a transformation of these kids who now trusted us. The walk lasted maybe 10 minutes, but we had 4 more days with them, and we were able each year to build more trust with that walk. They would bring friends years after that, and those friends would have to learn the same lesson on the first night, and they would learn, and we would share. I had those kids for about 3 or 4 years while I was camp counseling down there. And I can tell you, every year we built up more. And I got to understand them and know them. I would not have been able to do that without the Holy Spirit present in my life, giving me strength and courage, but also giving me understanding. Understanding that was far beyond any understanding of the way I had been raised, who I was, and the what I understood. That is what the Holy Spirit can give to each and every one of you as we are witnesses of this faith. And it doesn't have to be a witness where you're standing on a pulpit doing it. Your witness is in your actions. Your witness is in your kindness. Yes, Pentecost is red and fire, but it's light, not heat, that we're trying to put out into this world. We're trying to glow with that Holy Spirit. And a glow is something soft. A glow is something powerful, but it is not something that burns. It is something that guides. That is the light of the Holy Spirit that we can each have in us. Jesus 3 times refers to the Holy Spirit by a name. That name is Advocate. Advocate, he calls in John 14:16, John 15:26, and in John 16:15. He uses this word advocate. He names it for the disciples. An advocate, by biblical terms, is one who pleads another's cause, who helps another by defending or comforting him. These are things that Jesus went before us and then sent the Holy Spirit to us to aid us in the spreading of his message. And what did he tell us in John? He told us 2 things to remember here. In John 15:26. He's very clear, and he says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, will testify about me. It's the truth. Jesus is very clear that he has done this. And in John 16:15, he says again, all that belong to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit makes us more aware of Christ. It guides us. It is there to do so much more than that. It is there to defend and protect us. It's there for our hearts to keep them strong in him. This view that Jesus gave of this Holy Spirit advocate is this Trinitarian view. We have it come from the Father through the Son, whose sacrifice was for us. And out of that sacrifice came the Holy Spirit to us back, so we are never alone. That Holy Spirit is something that can uplift us through so many things, to comfort us in times of trials, to remind us that we never, ever have to feel alone. Even if we are alone in this world, we're never alone because he's been with us since the beginning and will be with us to the end. Jesus saves us eternally. This is true. But the Holy Spirit dwells with us internally while we're here waiting for eternity. I have a quote I love, and I will end with this quote. The light of divine wisdom shines in my thoughts and fills me with understanding. It doesn't have to come from me. It doesn't have to come from you. It comes from him. It comes from him. The understanding of how to speak, of how to witness, of how to be. It's in his word. He gave it to us so that we can use it, and the Holy Spirit can guide us to find that. And find it not only in ourselves, but in each other. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us your Son, this gift, Lord, of sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the gift of this Holy Spirit. Lord, as it dwells in each one of us, we know that a single flame, when lifted up with others, can glow and light up a room. Let us be able to stand together, Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in each of us as we think of those lights within us, and let them burn brighter and truer for you. Guide our steps, Lord, as we leave this place. We lift this up in your holy and precious name. Amen.